Go ahead and have a seat. If you would meet me in Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to finish it up. So your prayers have been answered. We're going to finish up the series on prayer. That wasn't supposed to be a series, but what do you do? But Daniel 9, it's one of those texts that it's a good one. But I remember the first time I'd ever heard it. Well, it wasn't taught. It was just kind of shared, kind of the way I'm going to do it this morning. Not the exact same way, but I'm not going to break down all the words and the background and all that. But as that man shared it that day, I hope to share it this morning. It was September 11th, 2001. It was the day. It wasn't the anniversary. It was the day before it was something. It was just the day after the 10th. It was a Tuesday. And I was at a ministry leaders conference down in Santa Cruz. Jay was there. We had just gotten reacquainted the day before. And, as when you go to those things, they always have, we're going to get up at 6 in the morning for devotions and worship, and then we're going to go and eat some breakfast, and then we'll hit the first session. So me being the spiritual man of God that I was and am, I skipped the prayer, and I just said, I'll see you at breakfast. Why lie? And so me and my pastor, as we made it to where everybody was kind of congregating, a guy I knew from college, he was a pastor, his name was Petey Kim, he says, did you guys hear what happened? And it was before the day and age where everybody had a cell phone. So, you had to be in the end to get the late breaking news. And no, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, the World Trade Center. I'd heard of the World Trade Center. I knew they were somewhere in New York. I did not, until, that day, I had not known how many times I had seen them. If you watch anything up until 2001, if it's based in New York, you're going to see those towers. And you didn't, like I said, I didn't even know what they were. And so he says, a plane flew into one. And I was like, well, that's unfortunate, it's just part of life. Things happen, people, accidents and whatnot. And then a little bit later, I think as we got into breakfast, it just kind of hopped from table to table. A second plane hit the other tower. And then people realized, we didn't know who did it and what was going on, but somebody was coming right at us. So we went to breakfast, and then we all met down some little room, not the main area, but kind of like the fellowship hall down there at Mount Hermon. And Pastor Chuck, because he's the dad, he's the poobah. So he took the lead, as Pastor Chuck does. And, I'm 25 years old. I'm 3 years in the ministry. I don't know anything. I know where Genesis is. I know where Revelation is on a good day. So I'm just kind of, I don't even know, I'm seeing history on so many levels because I'm seeing American history, but I'm about to see a spiritual happening because a man of God rising to the occasion to lead a lot of his disciples because the church is the one that leads the charge. In a time like that. So he got up there, and Pastor Chuck was not flashy, just very down to earth. I mean, it's funny because his name is Chuck Smith. And I mean, if you've ever met him, if you heard him, couldn't have been a more appropriate name. And so he got there, and this is the text that he read. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to stop a little bit here and there and say a little bit. But hopefully I don't lose the spirit of what I think the Lord is trying to say, because it kind of coalesces with something that's on my heart. Two things, if you haven't gotten the gist, if you haven't gotten the memo, I am a patriot. I love my country. I have no other. And we're here to be good Americans. We're here to be good Christians. We're here to be salt and light in our country. We're here to, as Pastor Romaine would say, we're here to get it on for the Lord. And if we don't have to wear a lot of shackles via our overseers, that makes it even easier. So I care about our country. I grieve over the route our country's taking. And yet I know it's not taking it to the streets. It's not sending anybody your check. It's not sending someone an email. It's about prayer. It's about seeking the Lord. Well, that's a real problem. Well, prayer is the real solution. And we've been duped into thinking prayer is what you do when you don't really want to do something real. Prayer is what you do is kind of a put on. Well, I'll pray about that. And man, it's an old saying, but I truly think the devil shudders when he hears a Christian say, I'm going to pray. And they mean it. He says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. What in the world is he talking about there? The Jews were in exile because they were hard-headed. Can you relate? I can. And the Lord told them before they ever got into the land, this is the way it's going to go. You're going to work the land for 6 years. You're going to plow it. You're going to till it. You're going to plant it. You're going to harvest it. And you're going to do that for 6 years. And then that seventh year, you're not going to touch it. It's just going to grow wild. You're going to give it a break. And it's going to grow wild. And I'm going to not only give you a bumper crop, that 6 years so you don't have to sweat that seventh year. You take a break. The land takes a break. Everybody takes a break. Oh my gosh. What a horrible Lord we serve. Take a break. Take a year off. Man. That just excites me just thinking about it. I mean, not now because I like what I'm doing, but these last couple years, that really got me going. So they go into the land and they work the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth year. And they work the seventh year. And guess what? The sky didn't fall. The earth didn't open up. God didn't thunder from the heavens and say, didn't I tell you? The sun rose that day. The sun set that day. And you know what they thought? They thought what I think. They thought what maybe some of you have thought. I got away with it. God really doesn't care. I mean, he said it. You know, people, we got to have rules. But he didn't really mean it. I mean, it's sin, but it's not sin. It's not super sin. It's not nasty sin. It's just sin. So they skated on that for 490 years of just ignoring God every seventh year. And because God didn't thunder, they kept on going. And they thought God didn't care. We all know it wasn't that God didn't care. It's that God was giving them space to repent. He was giving them grace to repent. And a lot of times we mistake God's grace as apathy or approval. It's just grace. It's a chance to turn it around. And get it straight. And they thumbed their nose at that. They just kept on going. But God was keeping a record. And then finally, after they had gotten into so much idolatry and so much of this and so much of that, God says, I want my time. I did that to a kid years ago. I would give out detentions. If you were talking while I was talking, detention. If you were talking while I wasn't talking, detention. If you were late, detention. If you left early, detention. If you looked me crazy, detention. Just come in, sit down, do your work, shut up and leave. You know, it won't be a problem. So this one kid, he was a smart kid. When you're passing it out like candy, every so often a detention falls in beneath the cracks. And I forgot about this kid. And 2 months later, I can still remember because I was living with my sister in Richmond. I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, looked over in the corner. I said, that kid owes me a detention. And so that morning, I said, Mr. McFadden, yeah, Mr. Grant, I said, we have to settle the books. Oh, what's up, Mr. Grant? I said, well, see, I gave you a detention 2 months ago, and you never served it. And he said, well, I thought you forgot. I said, I did, but God woke me up this morning, and he reminded me. These kids had never seen anything like me. And so this other student, Mr. Biyama, he says, wait a minute, Mr. Grant. Are you telling us that God tells you if we miss our detentions? God, I was like, yeah. I said, because it's 30 of you turkeys and it's only one of me. So God knows he's got to even up the scales. He's got to help me out. So back to you, Mr. McFadden. I still want that one. and I want another one for trying to get by me. And in my grace, I'm only going to require you to serve two. You're welcome. And he says, thank you, Mr. Grant. I said, you're welcome. It's all good. And he served my time. And a lot of times we're like that kid. We think, well, the Lord doesn't mean it. The Lord forgot it. The Lord has people, terrorists and warlords to deal with. He's forgotten about me. He loves us too much to forget about us. And so that's why he kicked them out of the land. After 490 years, he says, I want my time. For every seventh year you skipped, you stole from me, you defrauded the land, I want my time. And the land is going to get its rest while you're doing your detention in Babylon. So the Lord booted him out for 70 years. Daniel was a kid when that happened. Jeremiah was an aged old prophet when that happened. So one was on the way out when the deportation happened. Another one was just a young teenage kid. And Jeremiah, he wrote down, this is how long you're supposed to be there. That's what Daniel is alluding to. So it's many years in the future. Daniel is now probably around 85 years old. It's been forever and a day. And the Lord, maybe he woke Daniel up and he says, go read Jeremiah's book. And he read it. And he says, oh, yeah, our time's almost up. It's time to get going. This was just a timeout. It wasn't the end of the line. This is just for now. And Daniel does something that maybe to you, definitely to me, I look at it, and he does something that you wouldn't think would match up with the background, what was going on. Because this is a good thing. Our time is up. We've served our time. We get to go home. If it was me, I would have led a rally. Back to Israel. We're going to take it back. MEGA? Make Israel great again. Yeah, I would have printed some t-shirts and made some people mad. I would have planted everywhere. I would have done different things. But Daniel, let's look at what he does. He says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He doesn't say, let's go get him. He says, let's go to him. And even the tone of his prayer is odd. But I look at it and he says, I set my face toward the Lord. In other words, it's not, well, I'm going to pray until something better comes up. I'm going to pray until I get bored. I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to pray about this all the time. I'm going to pray without ceasing, as Paul says in the New Testament. That whole phrase, without ceasing, it's like when you get a tickle. When you are getting sick or just getting over being sick, and it's like someone stuck a feather in your throat. Of course, you know, from the bottom up, because you can't get to it. So all you do is, and then the people that you're in class with, they're like, I had bronchitis and I didn't have enough sense to stay home, so I went to school when I was in 10th grade, and I was hacking up along, and finally, this friend, because only a friend could talk to you like this. I see her writing this little note. She puts a little Ricola or something on it. She passes it back to me. And she says, would you cut us all a break? Either die or go home. That's a friend. Only a friend. I mean, that's been a billion years ago, and I still remember it. It's a miracle that I didn't keep the note. But it's that attitude when it says pray without ceasing. And he says, I set my face. I'm going to be stubborn about it, about seeking the Lord, about this revelation, this reminder that I've just come across. And he says, so I was going to request prayer, just talking to the Lord, and supplication. I'm asking the Lord for a specific purpose with a direct intent. And he says, with fasting, with sackcloth, and with ashes. And those were all signs of mourning. Those were all signs of rending the heart. Things are not good, because things weren't good. At the fasting, I'm going to deprive my flesh of what it needs the most, food. And as my body gets weaker, the intent is that my spirit gets stronger. The sackcloth was made out of camel's hair, and they a lot of times would turn it inside out and then wear it so that it would bristle up against you, so that you wouldn't be comfortable. The ashes. Who wants to go around wearing ashes? I mean, it itches. I mean, they put it on their skin, they put it in their hair. It's an unpleasant thing. And these are all meant to symbolize I'm making myself uncomfortable in seeking you. And don't get me wrong, because we've been talking about, you know, we're at home at the throne of God. It's a joyous thing. But there are those times, there are those conversations. We have to have them with loved ones that they're not happy conversations. They're not happy meetings. And this was one of those with Daniel and the Lord. And in the day and age of pronouns, I want you to notice Daniel's pronouns, because I would not have chosen the same ones. He says, I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made confession. I'm thinking, what do you have to confess, Daniel? He's one of two guys in the Bible that nothing negative is recorded about him. The other one is Joseph. I'm sure they sinned, but they just didn't write down their business. But he says, I made confession. And I said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, and with those who keep his commandments and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments. And he says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. Now, I would have said they have sinned. I would have said, you know, I would have like Moses, your people. I mean, if you have kids, it's funny, because whenever they do something bad, they're your wife's kids or they're your husband's kids. When they win the honor roll, you know, that's my girl or that's my boy. But here he says, I'm going to own it. And two reasons. Daniel, you get to see his heart. It's a humble heart. He says, someone once said, you look at the saints in the Old Testament, a lot of the ones that are just the movers and the shakers, they were Old Testament saints with New Testament relationships with the Lord. And Daniel, even though it wasn't written yet, Daniel, maybe he understood Romans 1. Remember Romans 1, where it says, you know, everybody, they get a glimpse of God, but they deny him. And then he lays down this list of all this bad stuff that people do. And you know, judgment is coming and you deserve it because it's all this. And then at the end, it gets the rest of us and all those who approve of it. And maybe Daniel said, well, I'm not an idol worshiper, but in my heart, maybe I've strayed, or in my heart, maybe I've thought this. We can point the finger at all these other people and say, they said this and they do this and they're like that, but I've never done that. Well, the Lord, he kind of breaks it down, because he says, well, if you looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery, so you can't go around wagging your finger there. Or if you've ever looked at someone and would hate in your heart, you're a murderer. Boy, I know it's double jeopardy, because I've hated a lot of people. It's just the fact. I mean, the grants are right over there. They know. So why should I lie? So I can sit up here and be like, oh, I can't believe that person. I mean, if we're honest, we've thought it. We've meditated on it. A lot of times we didn't do it because we didn't want the repercussions. I mean, in our heart, we did it, but we were just scared to get in trouble. So if we would be honest with ourselves, you know, because we could look at our country like, well, our country, they are really dragging it down. They are really a mess. They are the problem. But I'm one of them. We're one of them. We may not be doing it, but I mean, how many things have we watched or listened to or bought or been silent about or tolerant about? Well, we're not Karl Malone. We're not jamming it, at the hoop, but we're John Stockton, just showing my age. John Stockton has, I think, the all-time leading assist. He gives him the ball. The other guy dunks it. You know, we're not shooting the ball, but we're giving it to a guy who can sure enough dunk it. And if we have that attitude, well, I'm not out there doing it, but I've sure done it in my heart, or I've approved of someone who is doing it. it doesn't become them and they and all the or y'all. It's we. It's we. I wish our politicians got this. Because whenever it happens, whatever it is, whatever God chooses to use, whoever God chooses to use, it's not like it's or they are going to come up to Washington and be like, didn't know you guys were here. We're going to go down and get the regular folks. I mean, they're going to get us, but they usually get the up-and-comers first. It's not them and us. It's just us. And Daniel got it. And he says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. So who did they speak to? Everybody. Everybody. They were on C-SPAN. They were on ESPN. They were on the Outdoor Fishing Channel. They were on HGTV. They were on up and down the dial. They were putting the message out that no one in this country has an excuse when it comes down. And here Daniel, he says, basically, you told us. We can't say, oh, I didn't know. You knew. Because God was faithful to communicate it. And he says, oh, Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face, as it is this day. This prayer, I mean, I've been to a lot of prayer meetings. I have never heard a prayer like this, because you're going to make everybody mad. It's just a fact. Because if I pray this, like, oh, Lord, we've sinned, we've done this, there's going to be somebody. We talking about we, Kemosabe? I ain't done nothing what you're talking about, Jeremy. I'm not from Vallejo. I don't know what you're talking about because I'm a good person. There's always going to be that person that's going to want to argue, you speak for yourself, Charlie, because I'm a good person. You see, I mean, so I've never heard of good and or bad. Usually you have a tendency just to remember the horrible ones that go on forever. But maybe I have. I just blotted it out. But he says, number one, it's a we problem. We've messed up. We've sinned. And then I love it because he says, we, you know, because in our day and age, if you're dealing with a marriage, if you're dealing with a family, if you're dealing with enough people to put the blame off on somebody else, you will. It's just a fact. So it's not, oh, I did this, I messed up. We did this. Maybe we didn't communicate. Maybe we this. Hey, there's a lot of French being spoken. I'm sick of all this we stuff. How about I? How about me? How about this guy? I did it. But there's a lot of this we stuff going on. Oh, well, you know, in any marriage, any family, any church, you know, there's blame to go around. And there is. But you know what? Sometimes if we're honest, there are those times where you're like, yep, there's a divine division of labor here. And who messed it up? And it's 100% me. And it's zero you. Sometimes that's just the way it happens. But when it's us and the Lord, that's 100% the way it happens. It's not, you know, because I've heard people, oh, I don't know why the Lord let me do this. Or you think the Lord would have made a way of escape. He did. He did. If you messed up, it's because you messed up. It's not the Lord made you. It's not the Lord tempted you. It's not the Lord laid a track of land that was too tough. I just failed. We just tapped out. We just messed up. And Daniel gets that. He says, Lord, I just want to make sure that we hand out the right name tags. Here's yours, righteous. Here's mine, messed up, screwed up, fouled up, sinned. This is ours. And he totally owns it. Not just for them, but he owns it for himself, which really speaks volumes to me. And so he says, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, and all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. We are in the predicament we are in because we have sinned, is what Daniel said. Everything that's fallen apart has fallen apart. And if it's not fallen apart, someone stole it. It's because we sinned. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Does that sound like anybody you know? Does that sound like maybe a country? It'd be a big country. It would stretch from sea to shining sea, some would say. I mean, you'd get dizzy because there'd be these amber waves of grain just flowing, but no one can cut them because of the EPA. So we're just sitting around looking at them, which is another story. And I mean, we could say, well, don't blame me because I voted for the other guy. Don't vote for me. Don't get mad at me because I voted for the other guy. And the Lord says, I'm going to get mad at all y'all because you didn't vote for me. You can vote for the right guy and still not be voting for the Lord. It's not, okay, I'm going to say it. Edit it out, please. It's not a Biden problem. It's not a Trump problem. It's a heart problem. It's not even an America problem. It's an American problem. It's an American problem. It's I'm the problem. Because, you know, there's that saying, if everybody did what you do, what state would we be in? Would we be doing like the Fonz? Hey. Or would we be doing like the Fonz? Whoa. I'll leave that to you. But Daniel knew. And he proceeds on. He says, O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers. Why that same group? Because that's the same group that got the warning. Because we have sinned against you. No, it's an economic problem. It's a socio-political problem. We need to even things out. It's an equity problem. We need to take from the rich and give to the poor. It worked for Robin Hood. Because how much do you need? So, you know, take your surplus and give it to somebody else. I mean, some folks are just naturally stupid and some people are just naturally smart. So let's take your A down to a C and we'll take his F up to a C. And I mean, and they're doing that stuff. I floated that with the kids when I was teaching. Wasn't a socialist in the group. I said, who wants to give this turkey 10% so he can have a D minus? None but crickets, all of a sudden. And I say all this stuff sort of in jest. If you watch all these TV shows, this is the problem. That's the problem. It's infrastructure. It's equality. It's inclusion. It's this. It's diversity. It's this, that, and the other. And it was a billion skillion years ago, and Daniel was on it back then. He says, the problem is we sinned. That's what the problem is. I mean, I'm going to say some stuff. I'm sorry. How many times can you say I'm sorry? I'm going to do like Daniel, just underline it. Everybody, the people want to come out like, oh, America's racist. We're no more racist today than we were 30 years ago. We're closeted racists, you know, but I mean, because you can't change a person's heart. Only Jesus can do that. So people, they'll come in and they'll behave at the workplace and they'll, you know, be tolerant, and there'll be some things that they don't say out loud till they don't think you're there. And then, you know, okay, I'll tell you this. And all that to say is, all the things that people say, oh, we were this and that in the day, and we were this, we're still this and that, but now we've shooed away the God who shamed us about our sin back in the day. So now not only do we have those sins from yesteryear, but we brought a whole bunch of new ones with us. So now we're racist perverts. And so the problem has it's just gotten away from us big time because it's not all these little problems, it's just one problem. It's the sin problem. He says, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he said before us, by his servants, the prophets. And yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. I like to watch the old TV shows. By now, you guys know that. I enjoy them, but they kind of depress me because it's like, wow. things used to be a lot better. I mean, you could walk down the street, you open up your door, there's milk waiting for you. I mean, they called it the white glove treatment. You pull up to the gas station. I was just coming in when this was on the way out, but you pull into the gas station. Say it if you know what I'm talking about. You pull in, and what would you hear? Cling, cling. Yeah, and then a guy come out, and he can help you, and he'd start spraying down and wiping, and he would check your oil. He would check your tires. It was almost a tune-up. Now you go in there, what you want? Hey, could I get five on three? Five? Three? Beep, 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 beep. Guess we're done here. Have a good day. We've gone from that to this. Because back in the day, it wasn't, oh, I'm just working at a gas station and I'm so much better than this and I'm so much above this. It was, man, the Lord has been good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need. Was it sun, the rain, and the apple tree? The Lord's been good to me. But we had that attitude of gratitude. So if you were working a job that maybe was, and maybe you weren't a doctor or a lawyer, who gave you that job? God gave you that job. So how are you going to work it? To the best of your ability. Every person was a way that you were going to serve the Lord, and it made a difference. But now you can't even get people to go and halfway care, because if there's no God, there's no God for you to work as unto. And so you have this whole problem. Are you getting the theme of what I'm talking about? The big problem is the big problem. We've cut ourselves off from the Lord. So he goes on, he says, and he has confirmed his word, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster for under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. He says, this is like, it was a bustling place. It was the hub back in the day during Solomon's day. And he says, now it's not the hub, it's a husk. It's not the place where everything happens. It's a ghost town. It's nothing but tumble. He says, nothing's ever happened like that ever. And he says, why? Because God goes to great lengths to show us I meant what I said. When I said this, it's not that I just needed filler in between Genesis and Revelation. I meant what I said. And when you get off of the trail, you are going to be in for a world of hurt. So all these calamities that have fallen upon us that we've jumped into, their confirmation. Oh, God meant what he said. I mean, that wasn't the pizza. That wasn't just that one preacher who was a pulpit pounder. God meant that. When he said stop and quit and don't, he meant that. Who knew that? Now the whole nation knows it, but we're still kind of missing the point because we don't want to get the point. And I lost my point because I kept on going. Verse 13, he says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us yet. And this, I think of our nation. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. I say it all the time. We are the United States. We are united in the fact that everybody's mad about something. Everybody's mad about who didn't get elected. Everybody's mad about who did get elected. Everybody's mad about the price of gas. Somebody's mad that we're still using gas. Everybody's mad about something. And it's like, and we've got all these solutions. Raise the taxes, lower the taxes, which I'm for, by the way. But all these solutions, and we're just throwing baloney at the wall. And here Daniel says, all this stuff is happening, yet we haven't prayed. We haven't sought the Lord. We're chasing all these little fires, but we're not addressing the big one. Even though the Lord has kept this in our sight as a reminder so that we would seek him. Think about that when you turn on the news this morning, tomorrow morning, and you're like, huh, still bad news, who knew? He says, oh Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Therefore, O Lord, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. I mean, I could, this is part four, and it's the final part, but man, I could go off on this. Because we flip that so much. We think, oh, we're her because of our righteousness. We're her because we're good Christians. We're her because we're this and we've done that and we're better than the other guy. And here Daniel says, you're not hearing us because of what we do. You hear us because of your grace. So if you messed up this week or had a bad week or whatever, shake it off and take it to the Lord. Get back to praying to him. And I love it because he says, Lord, look around. Look at the mess that things are in, Lord. He says, Lord, listen. Don't you hear it? He says, Lord, do something about it, please. He says, Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. And do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people who are called by your name. A prayer for a nation that had fallen from grace, if there is such a thing. For lack of a better term, I'll just stick with that. And Daniel, because he was a seer, because he was a prophet, he could see what the real problem was, even though most of the other people couldn't. And he says, the problem isn't Darius. The problem wasn't Nebuchadnezzar or Belteshazzar or Nabunidus or all the other ones that are in the book. He says, the problem is us. It was like this inside our hearts. And now the outside matches the inside of our hearts. God has done us a favor. He's shown us in our eyes what he's been seeing with his spiritual eye for years. And see, obviously, the cat's out of the bag. I read this the same way that Pastor Chuck taught it about 20-some-odd years ago with our country in mind. The same way Daniel, when he prayed it, he prayed it with his countrymen and his country in mind. He knew that all the things that had happened to them, they were a result of sin. And we all know, whether we've been around a long time or not, we all know at this point in the game, every last silly, dumb problem is because of sin. I do care, but I couldn't care less who the next president is. Let me qualify that. I care more about the people who are going to follow the next president. If all of America says this, if we all pray this prayer, we could put Daffy Duck on the ballot. And I heard they're trying to do that. I'm just kind of, I don't know. That was back in California a couple years ago because we're just great. We could put anybody on the ballot, but if all of the Americans said, yeah, you're my president and I'm going to respect you, but God is my God and he's the one I'm going to follow, they could steer the ship off of a cliff. Now, that would be a miracle because I just steer a ship off of a cliff. But they could steer it backwards all they wanted and it would still go right because the people would be in line with the Lord. And maybe I'm just telling my business, but I think we've been kind of lazy. Because, well, it's an election year, so I'm just going to throw all my support behind this guy and let him do it. I mean, I could get serious with the Lord. I could take it to the other level. I could do a little bit more inventory in my own soul and in my own walk. Probably see some things that need to change and get close to the Lord. Or I just vote for this guy and let him fix it. He can't fix it. He's a mess like the rest of us. Who are you talking about? All of them. And so when I think about our country, the best thing we can do as Christians is what Daniel did. In honesty, in humility, we take it to the Lord. Lord, we have strayed big time. We're not where we were. We're not who we were. Lord, I don't even recognize this. I mean, think about it. If you had fallen asleep, let's say 20 years ago, and you woke up to this world, would you be like, oh, same old America? Or would you say, holy smokes, was this the Twilight Zone? I mean, I'm just watching some Star Wars the other night, just watching Star Wars. And then they've got a Planned Parenthood commercial on. They're making it seem like they're not killing babies. They're making it seem like this is the most charitable organization and we just need your money. We just need your money so much because we're not going to be able to, they sure make murder sound palatable. Oh, we're not going to be able to provide health care. Really? And then it's odd because then the next commercial is Macy's and then they got two girls kissing. So I'm thinking, you want reproductive rights, but these ladies are together, but how are you going to have a kid to kill? I don't get it. And that's how schizophrenic our country is. Because we want to preach to somebody, but we don't want to listen to any sermon from anybody. And we've got the answer, but we haven't even heard the question yet. And you can't fix that with an election. You can't fix that with boycotting this and censoring that. You can't. The problem's too deep. It's too big. You fix that with taking it to the Lord. And not by saying, Lord, those people, you sure need to fix them. Lord, I'm one of them. And I've done my own stupidity. Lord, forgive me. Lord, hear me. And Lord, please help me. And Lord, help us. And it's not that they deserved it. We don't deserve it. But I sure would like it if the Lord would help us out. He had a lot of potential. He was supposed to come on the scene and fix it all. And I mean, he was an impressive guy. Well, he had an impressive head of hair. And he'd come on the scene and he'd throw his locks back and he'd kill about 300 Philistines in a pop. And everybody said, boy, this guy Samson, he's all right. But he had a couple problems. He didn't like to listen to anybody. And the Lord told him, here's the deal. It's just three things. Just three things. No grapes. No dead bodies. No clippers. He's a Nazirite. You got a task to do. I don't want you touching that. You get it, you don't, do it anyway. And as you read through Samson's story, he goes around a dead body, a dead lion, and he thrusts his hand in and he gets out some honey. I mean, he started a company, he called it Dead Lion Honey, and it was to die for. Thank you. I get paid royalties every bad joke I tell. But he ate that honey, gave some to his folks, didn't tell them where it came from, and you know what happened? Not a thing. So he says, it's all good. God is cool. Did you get the gist? God is cool. God is down with this. So then he went by this vineyard and he ate some grapes. And you know what happened? Not a thing. He said, I knew it. God is cool. He's okay with it. And then he took up with this lady and she was not a real threat. Her name meant delicate. And he was big bad Samson. He says, and she would pester him, oh, why don't you tell me why you're so strong? Why don't you tell me why you're so strong? Come on. And he was playing with her, much like we play with sin. And we get comfortable with sin. Didn't burn me yesterday. Didn't burn me last year. I'm all good. And he finally told her the truth. And he woke up. Or, well, he went to sleep and he had a haircut like Fabio. And he woke up, he looked like Kojak. And it's the most tragic, or one of the most tragic verses in the Bible. It says he rose up as he did in the past, but his strength had left him and he didn't know it. And I think about our country, because we've played with this and nothing's happened. We played with that and nothing's happened. God's cool. We got the church channels that kind of even out all the other channels. So God's cool. Nothing's happened. And then finally there's that last one. And then repercussions start to happen. Not God being mad, just repercussions. And then we kind of get our sight. We see him grinding grain like an ox, Samson. He's bald. He's got no eyes because they burned him out. And now he's a slave. And they trot him out because they want to make a show of him. And if you don't know what that looks like, wait for the next big preacher to fall. Because that's what they do. As soon as we fall, then everybody knows where, you know, this guy out in the Ozarks was. All he has to do is do something bad, and then everybody cares. But they want to trot him out. And they put him between these two pillars. And his prayer, albeit tragic, because it didn't have to be that way. I'm glad God heard it. Because he says, Lord, just one more time. One more time, give me strength so I can push down these pillars and kill all these Philistines. I mean, that's where the prayer is not so poetic. But the heart I like, because Samson had messed up royally. He hadn't lived up to his potential. He had used his power for his own gratification, and it came around and it bit him. And he could have just said, well, I deserve it. I'm dead, I'm done, that's it. He said, Lord, one more time. Just visit me one more time. And I really think that's the prayer that if you love this country, if you don't love this country, you can pray, Lord, one more time. Pour your grace out upon us, Lord. One more revival, Lord. One more revolution. One more wake-up call, Lord. Just one more. Because we deserve it. No. Because we got it coming. No. Because we need it. And it would sure be great if you'd be gracious to us. If this huge mess, we have made it, Lord. And we get it. We totally get it. And we just ask that you would clean us up and then clean it up. That's the prayer. And see, the thing is, I don't know. I don't know the future. I don't know. And the Lord's going to, you know, I don't, you know, it'd be great if, you know, Jay texts me, you know, he's not supposed to call me. But if Jay texts me, you know, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I mock people. I mimic people. So when I do someone's voice, I do their voice. So when I quote Jay now, I do horse Jay. I don't do Jay from before. So I'm not trying to be a jerk. But, you know, if I woke up tomorrow morning and Jay sent me a text, go down to the church. There's a bunch of people down there. What? It's not food closet. What's going on? People, God did something. People were at the church. They want to get saved. What? I mean, that would be great. That'd be a great surprise. But chances are it's probably not going to happen. Give it a week. Give it a couple months. You know, maybe it happens the same old way it's always happened. Or maybe it's something we don't even see. Maybe it doesn't happen. But man, you prayed this prayer and you mean it. You know who does change? Even if America doesn't, you change. I change. It's a mini revival. It's a revival of one. And God will answer that prayer because he answers the prayer in the next verse, which I'm not going to read to you. And you're like, phew, God just answered my prayer right there. But God sent the answer, like he said, while he was still praying, God answered the prayer. But the thing is, this is the thing. If we don't pray, if we don't ask, there is a 100% chance of failure. God says, you ask not, you have not because you ask not. If we ask, who knows? God may be gracious. You know how many, I mean, just think it out in your mind. How many times were people have said in the Bible, well, we're going to try this thing. It's hopeless, but who knows? Maybe God will do. And then God says, okay. And God showed up and he did some crazy cool stuff. And so ask and see what the Lord will do. He'll meet you. He'll meet us. He did it with Daniel here. Who knows what the Lord will do? One lighthearted story, and we'll go. Years ago, I had a buddy. He lived over the hill from the school. He was extremely lazy. And he would always want to bum rides. He'd say, hey, Jim, could you ride? Dude, you live over the hill. I mean, you live right over the hill. You could have been home by now. Just walk. It just irritated me. Just walk. That's why it sounds like I'm going through puberty, because it just irritated me. And so, and my buddy Martin, who's still a good friend, he lived by me. He was on the way. So Martin would get a ride. So, you know, Martin's like, can I get a ride? I'm like, yeah, come on. So we're walking out there, and I get to the car and go open the door. I look, and there's Lewis. Who shall be called Over the Hill Lewis, because he lived over the hill. He had followed me to my mom's car. And I turned around, I was like, well, can't hurt to ask. And I'm pretty sure I said something inappropriate, because I was irritated. And I said, get in the car. Did he need a ride? No. Did he deserve a ride? No. Was he an idiot? Did he get his ride? Yes. Am I comparing myself to God in this story? Kinda. But the whole point is, he had that right attitude. If I don't follow you and make a fool of myself and ask, I'm definitely not getting a ride. But if I follow you and irritate you further, I might get a ride. If we seek the Lord, there's a couple things that are most definitely going to happen. We're going to hear from the Lord. We're going to see the Lord. We're going to experience the Lord. We're going to love the Lord. We're going to do fine. And there's a couple things that just may happen. Our neighbor may come along. Our coworker may come along. Our family members may come along. Our state may come along. Our governor may come along. Don't tell him. It'll be a surprise. Our country may come along. I don't know. We never know. Why not ask? Because maybe God will do something. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for, you haven't waited 490 years with us, but you've waited a long time for us to get stuff right, for us to repent, for us to get right. And Lord, I pray for myself. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, maybe it's time that we took some stock, took some inventory in our own hearts, and pray like Daniel. We've sinned. We've failed. Forgive us. And Lord, we that is our prayer. And Lord, as Daniel prayed for his countrymen, we pray for ours. Lord, that you would see, you do see what's going on. You hear all the junk that's going on. Lord, we ask and pray that you would move in a mighty way. Lord, not just in our region, not just our state, but Lord, we pray that you would kindle something in this country, that you'd wake us up, Lord, that it would overflow. And we do ask and pray that it will start with us. And we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.